right here. Da 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 da.
There we go. All right. Good morning. And I'm excited. I've been pondering this actually for years on doing this, and I really appreciate the opportunity to come and talk. And so I want to talk about turning points. Turning points in our lives. And you know, we've all had them. I've had a few. And so I want to share some of those with you. And so as Randy said, my name's Kurt Goulding. My wife, Nancy, most of you probably know her because she's the friendly lady that greets you. Yeah. And we've been committed to Lyft since the very early days. I don't know, the third or fourth month, we kind of fell in here and we stuck. So Randy and I were talking not too long ago over lunch, and I mentioned a particular anniversary was coming up, and he said, okay, why don't you share that with people? So I have three objectives out of this. One, that you're encouraged. Two, that you see how powerful God is. And thirdly, maybe get to know a little bit about me. And I think it's really important that we get to know a little bit about each other in the body and outside of the body. And as Randy said, I'm on the board of trustees. I serve as the treasurer. That means part of my responsibility is helping to maintain the financial integrity of the church. My history is I'm a business guy. And I'm going to share a little bit more about that as we go on. And, you know, one of the things that I think it's important that we share our testimonies, and I think I read about it someplace in a book that might be sitting on your coffee table in a bookcase getting dusty or something. But, you know, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night, he's been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and their testimony. So I'm going to share a little bit about my testimony, my experiences that I've had. And I hope that you're encouraged through that. So one of the real interesting things in life is a turning point. You know, so what's a turning point? It's a noun. Okay, that means, you know, that it's an action. So a time at which a decisive change in a situation occurs. Oh, a choice is made. Life is all about choices. About, am I going to do this? Am I going to do that? Am I going to go down this road or this road? And, you know, before I go, Kathy, you killed me with new wine. And I think a little bit that as I share further is going to fit that. That was, I mean, the whole worship was phenomenal today. September 13th, 2002, 17 years ago Friday, was a turning point. In my life. Wasn't supposed to do this. On that day, something happened. I don't know whether I died or not that day, on the side of a mountain in the Sierra Madre Mountains in Mexico. But what I do know from that moment on, of losing control, God got control and changed my life forever. And who I am profoundly a different person inside and out. This has been, I've had a lot of major turning points, but this was a big one. So, you know, one of the really great conversation starters, tell me your story. Think about it. You know, we talk about we want to have relationship. We want to know people. You know how you get to know them? Hey, Joe, tell me your story. Tell me. He's got a great story about going to Mexico, hanging out down there with the OSI folks. Everybody, Josh has got an incredible story of what he's been through. And Josh and Kristen have a fantastic story of perseverance. And I'm going to talk about perseverance on this. So, you know, a lot of you guys think you may know me, but you don't really. You don't know all the little pieces. And in fact, maybe you filled in a few blanks to go, well, this guy, yeah, this is what Kurt is and who he is and all that. I know Kurt. No, you don't. You don't know my story. So I'm going to try and fill in some of those blanks in there. So I grew up in Northern California. I know I don't have blonde hair. I was a towhead when I was born. I've got four sisters, three older, one younger. There we are. This is kind of an inside joke for Nancy and I, that where this picture was taken at. And my mom was a stay-at-home mom. And my dad was an old cowboy, born 100 years too late. And so he became a veterinarian. And all I ever wanted to be was a cowboy. That's all. I just, you know, that's what better life is there? And so my very first job that I got was as a cowboy. Now, it was on a 32,000-acre ranch. It was an original Spanish land grant. So in California history, this is a big deal and all of that. But I got a job as a cowboy at 15 years of age. And all summer long, got there at 7 o'clock in the morning, saddled up the horse, and off we went. And we went till 5 or 6. And this was fantastic. And then we got this ranch. This, to me, was just on the outskirts of heaven. And that was the entrance. And this is where Nancy and I are going to spend the rest of our lives and wedded bliss, being cowboys, you know, and so that no electricity. we had a gas generator, and so we learned to play cards and board games and what have you. But in the evening, we'd play cards, and when the generator ran out of gas, okay, guess it's bedtime, and we'd go to bed. But it was an incredible place. It was 8 miles from Oregon, 25 miles from Nevada. It's high desert country. And here's, this is a view. This is what we looked out at. 150-acre meadow, and you could see the Warner Mountains in the background. And it was a fantastic place. So, part of being true to my inner cowboy, I went to Oklahoma State. Go Pokes! O-S-U. And that's where I met Nancy. And we got married. And that, again, you know, that was a turning point. It was a great, I upgraded myself dramatically. And we got married, and we were all ready to go, and we were going to be. No, that's not okay. And so suddenly, a turning point occurred. My dad's going broke. And he said, there's no place for you here. And it's like, bum. I got to get a job. Okay, so here we go. Off we went to McPherson, Kansas. Then up to Lenox, South Dakota. And oh, by the way, our oldest, it is Rags, was born in Sioux Falls Hospital. And then out to Lawton, Oklahoma on a little venture. And then back to McPherson, Kansas. And let's see. Oh, I got fired from my job. And the next day after Lance was born, I'm on a plane for a job interview. So a little disruption in the life, going through a turning point in that. And then Denver, we got a job. And it's like, oh, man, God, yes, thank you. Back to the mountains. I am a high desert mountain kind of a guy. And God was now starting to stir inside of us. And I thought, this is it. I found what I wanted to do and where I wanted to do it. And then they fire the guy that opened that office, shut it down, and where did we go? Omaha. We lived there 18 months, and I never changed my driver's license from Colorado. And then God stirring some more, and it's like, okay, let's throw a little crisis in your marriage. And it was, boom, we ended up back. God moved. The sovereignty of God, he answered the cry of my heart, and we were back in Denver. And now he'd gone from stirring to moving. But our marriage was still kind of a mess, and there's a whole bunch of other stories to go. I have to write things down so I don't go down the bunny trails because I'm really bad about that. But, you know, God started to move in us, and we were part of an incredible church. Healing and restoration was beginning to take place, and then a crappy job situation brings us to Kansas City. And yet, God had been calling us here for years. Opportunities, they kept saying, well, why don't you go to Kansas City? No, I don't want to go to Kansas City. Oh, why don't you go to Kansas City? No, I don't want to go to Kansas City. Go to Kansas City. Gotcha. Gotcha. And we came here, and the most, from a career standpoint, it was like, oh, my God. It exploded. And things started to happen, and God was blessing us. And again, we suddenly got involved in a church at the very beginning, in the early days, and we were pioneers of that. And then I started to travel. And I was in Mexico or someplace in Latin America every month. And I was building a business. I was impacting people. And it was incredible. And then, Friday the 13th of September 2002. Now, because I am basically a workaholic and was just nuts. I loved what I was doing and loved that. I didn't have any fun in my life. And, you know, I didn't think anything about days or anything like that. But, you know, Nancy encouraged me to go have some fun. And I had these clients, three brothers in Guadalajara, Mexico. And they invited me to go on an ATV ride over the Sierra Madre Mountains, 2-day ride to Puerto Vallarta. And it's like, yeah, okay, I can do this. 48 years old. I'm at the peak of my career. And these are great. It's a great family. And so Nancy convinced me, go have some fun. Okay. And so it was just a real interesting thing as we go. I took off, got there. Yeah, there we go. And on this trip, the rules were real simple. No drugs, no alcohol till the night. You had 8 in a group. Now, there was over 700 people signed up for this. This was over Mexican Independence Day. And so there was over 700 people. And we were moving in groups of 8, and we all had different starting points and as we went out there. And so there was 7 in ours, but there was always 2 in front to blaze the trail and make sure we didn't get lost and go down the wrong trail. And then we had 2 in back, the drag riders. And they were looking to see if there was anything that was a problem that anybody had. We'd go out for about 30 minutes, come together. Go out, come together. And it was incredible country, just spectacular. And so we're going through a tropical rain forest in their rugged country, and we'd go through these little bitty pueblitos with 2 and 3 houses in it, and it was just, it was incredible. So we had stopped for a late lunch. And we're sitting there. And we get all done. It's about 4 o'clock in the afternoon now. And, you know, we got another 3 hours, something like that, to go. But we've been going uphill all day. And now it's time to start working our way down. So we took off. And there's 4 people in front of me. Can't see them. And there's 2 people behind me. So I traveled by myself. And the drag riders behind us. And we were going along. And so we start to go down this hill. And I look down. And I'm going 35 miles an hour. And I'm going, I probably ought to slow down because I can see there's a hard left coming up. Oh no. I'm not going to make it. And suddenly everything shifted from real time to a slide presentation, just like this. Oh no. I'm not going to make it. Yeah. No kidding. Kurt, meet Mr. Tree. That is why I went. I grabbed the hand caliper, nothing. I stomped on the foot brake, nothing. And as we're going down, start to slide. And I'm sliding through it, and I was thrown off. And I hit a tree about that size. In flight, hit it, hyperextended my spine around it, and rolled. And the last, there was something I'm missing. When I hit the tree, I don't remember hitting the tree, but what I remember was nothing but white. It was white and nothing. And after an eternity, 6, 7, 8, 10 days, or maybe it was 5 minutes, I don't know. But I woke up, face down, spread eagle out, and I go, okay, I could move my fingers barely. I could wiggle my toes barely. And I'm going, okay, I'm not paralyzed. But now what? I'm face down in the middle of a rainforest, in the middle of nowhere, and nobody knows where I am. And then the drag riders came, and they saw my bike over there, and now they were concerned because it was riderless. And then they found me over there. And as I laid there, unable to move, they found me. They got my helmet off me. And everybody just kind of took a deep breath, and they rolled me over. Laid there for probably 30 minutes. What else am I going to do? I cannot move. And, you know, somebody had an energy drink. Okay, I got some energy now. So I said, you know what? I think I can sit up. So I said, give me a hand. And I pulled myself up. And we sat there for another 30, 45 minutes. And I said, you know what? I think I can stand up, but let me do it. You just let me pull on you. Now, in all this, since we're in the tropics, it does what in the tropics? It rains, and it absolutely is pouring down, soaked to the skin. And then it stopped, and it's like, okay, what are we going to do? And when I started to stand up, I blacked out momentarily. And got up. Now, here's the thing. See that picture? I had to get from down below to up on the road. I had to walk. Took about 15, 20 minutes to shuffle up to get up that hill. Now you start thinking, okay, where's God in all this? Right there. He's right there. First of all, I don't know how bad anything is, but hey, I'm standing. I'm walking. And shock is now setting in on this. What's the next thing? Yeah. One of the guys on our team had a bottle of vodka, and I knew about it. And it was like drinking water, and they had to take it away from me. But there was no taste. There was nothing. And then I'm in the middle of the Sierra Madres. And God provided what? Painkiller. And the guy, you know, he tells me, you know, drop your jeans. And I said, are you a doctor? And he goes, no. Did you stay at a Holiday Inn last night? I said that to him. And they shot me up. And so I'm who knows where I am. And I'm feeling nothing. But the journey's just starting. We're 20 miles away from the little pueblito we're supposed to spend the night in. Where's God? He's right there. It just so happened. There wasn't one. There were two weight lifter support belts. They cinched me up. The country was so rugged. Here was the choice. Go out on a traverse, but we didn't. There were plenty of trees, but let's see. We didn't have a saw. We didn't have any rope. And we didn't have a horse. So what was the alternative? Okay. Cowboy up, cowboy. It is I got to drive myself out because I'm in a condition. I can't sit up. And those things aren't designed to ride two on them. So they got a smaller bike for me, and I could move, I could run the throttle. And for 2 hours, went through the most rugged part of the road. And I wanted to quit. I wanted to just die. And as I was going along the hill, now I had somebody in front of me, and I had somebody to the left of me, and somebody behind me as we were going. And I started leaning to the left. So don't ever lean left, okay? Because I went into darkness. Literally, as I would go left, I'm blacking out. So what do? Man, you take control. For the next 2 hours, this stupid little, I think I can, save my life. Thinking about this little train. And I don't know how many times I would start to go into darkness. And then came back. Persistence. Didn't quit. And this was hard. And finally, we arrived to the hotel. I mean, I remember sitting there, and I had just enough strength to get my helmet off and to take my gloves off. And there I am. And then the guys come up to me and they say, "We don't have any way to transport you to the hospital. You're going to have to drive another half a mile." At this point, now I'm coming out of shock. The drugs are wearing off. And every little pea-sized pebble is sending shockwaves through my body. And the roads weren't paved there. And I felt every little bump. And we arrived at the hospital. Now, the hospital was a very modern, up-to-date, had the latest lighting. It had one light bulb hanging in each room. There was, I'm just believing that she was trained. That was the nurse practitioner or whatever. Took 3 men to get me off the bike because I was, at that point, I couldn't do anything. I couldn't move my arms anymore. I couldn't move my legs. They got me onto a gurney, wheeled me in. We get in there. First thing they got to do is they got to cut all my clothes off because I'm soaking wet. Cut the laces off my boots, cut my jeans off me. And then I had swapped out my dollar Kmart poncho for somebody's $350 North Face jacket. And if you've ever been in situations like the things that go through your head, like, did you stay at Holiday Inn last night? And here, I was worried about buying a new jacket because this jacket was brand new. And it's funny, my client was in there, and he's thinking the same thing as me. Now, they almost killed me getting that off me, but they didn't cut it off. That's right. So they shot me with more drugs. Drugs are good. There are times. and sent me off into La La Land again and put me in a neck brace, and all I have on is my underwear. And they wrapped me in a blanket, put me in the back of a Suburban on a 2x12. And they say, good luck. Now, while I'm laying there, okay, so at 4 o'clock, I started the trip down the hill. It's about 8 o'clock, and I call Nancy. Hey, Nancy. Kurt, how are you? You at the hospital? Well, no, I'm on my way. I think I cracked a couple of ribs. What? And, you know, you have to talk to her to get her side of all the things, because I can't imagine what she was going through. And I'll call you when I know more. And off we go. And so when I arrived at the hospital, there's three doctors there. My clients were wealthy guys. And this was a private hospital that we went to. And there was three doctors there. There was an internist, a trauma specialist, and their personal physician. And they all spoke English. So now it's 11 o'clock at night. And they wheel me in. And this hospital had all the modern technology. Actually, it did. And I did sonograms and x-rays and whatever rays and this thing and that thing. And I spent 4 hours going through all of this. And, you know, we go through that. They wheel me in. And the guy comes in and he said, you broke your back. I always thought that was a death sentence. Or at least paralysis. But it's a good break. Okay, would you like to trade places with me? So it's 3 or 4 in the morning. I call Nancy. Good news. I broke my back, but they don't need to operate. Where was God? He was right there with me. You hit a tree. Think about this for a second. If somebody took a baseball bat and went whack right here, what's going to happen? A lot of damage. May never walk again, and it might even kill you. And so after I delivered the good news, Nancy's going, do you want me there? I said, yes. And God got her on a plane. She was at the hospital in Guadalajara by 9 p.m. So I had 4 broken transverse processes. That's the little, you know, the red things there, 2, 3, 4, and 2, okay? The breaks were anything from a right angle to a separation to a complete pulverization to a chip. And, oh yeah, that's right. And then I had 2 of my vertebrae cracked, the 2 and 3. Oh, yeah, yeah. And my 9 and 7 ribs were broke. That was just so I couldn't breathe. And, you know, so what? Now, this is where God begins transforming me. He's got my attention. And I started to learn about perseverance. A noun. You persist in doing something despite difficulty, despite difficulty. You can't ever quit. And if you really want to get pumped up on that, listen to Winston Churchill and the infamous speech as the Germans are decimating London and all of England. And he said, we must never, ever, ever, ever quit. You know, I know quite a few. No, I've met. I don't know very many of you. But I know some of you have had pain and know what pain is. But I'm going to tell you, I had pain. And when we left Mexico, they gave me this fantastic big jar of magic pills. And we got back. We had to spend 3 days. We spent 4 days in the hospital there. And here's, I think, yeah, Amy, you're here. 4 days in the hospital. I went through all kinds of tests every day. I had an internist and a trauma specialist waiting on me hand and foot. And you know what else? I pushed the button, and somebody was in my room inside of 30 seconds. And they got fantastic treatment. They made a bed up for Nancy. She stayed in there. And so on Monday morning, Independence Day in Mexico, we walk out of the hospital. They don't take American insurance there. Gave them my MasterCard, $4,600 all in. Doctors, drugs, tests, drugs, tests, drugs. Oh, yeah, and some x-rays. But I you know, this pain that I had, and we get back to the U.S. and we go and see another, we meet with a spinal surgeon, a neurosurgeon, one of the best in the city, and I didn't need surgery, so he didn't need me. And my health started to really decline. And the pain put me in almost a constant brain fog. And so I know all about tongues. The problem was I had no interpretation. Nancy'd start talking to me, and I'd look at her. I'd watch her lips move, and this noise is coming out, and she's speaking another language, and God wasn't giving me interpretations. I don't know if you've ever had brain fog. I lived in it. If you got me upset, I would go numb. Now, what happens there? You just spiral out of control. And it was tough. It was tough. And because the doctor treated me like, oh, you got a hangnail. Don't worry about it. I mean, we went in there. He gave us all of 5 minutes. He said, you know, you broke your back. I said, yeah. He says, you're lucky. Yeah. And the nurses are going, why are you alive? Or why can you even walk? I wore a brace for 6 weeks. That was it. That was always fun for Nancy and all those parts of it. I lost 2 years of my life. I went 2 years without sleeping because I was always in pain. But fortunately, God's a good God. Because I hadn't quit. I caught myself with this big jar of magic doses. And I was supposed to take 2 Vicodin every 4 hours. And about the third or fourth time that I got to 2 hours and 1 minute, that's close to 4 hours, isn't it? I was in feeding fear. I wasn't in pain. Man, I was in la-la land. But I was so afraid of the pain. 13 years I lived like that. And then one day it lifted. During worship, Randy says, you know, some of you are feeling pain, whatever, you know. It wasn't to raise your hand and people come minister. But Dave Leatherman walks up behind me, doesn't know what's going on, doesn't really know. I don't think he knows anything of my story at that point. Dave comes up. And it was really a bad day. It was a bad day. Dave lays his hand on me, and I didn't know who it was. I mean, somebody put their hand on my back where the pain was emanating from. And all of a sudden, there's no pain. There's no And where's God? Right there with me. But as we were going through this, I'm on a leave of absence from work. I haven't slept in 2 years. Phone rings. It's the CEO of our company. Hey, Kurt, how'd you like to go to Brazil? And by the way, in Portuguese, it's with an S. Here, a major, major turning point. Now, Nancy is rock solid, but she doesn't like a lot of change. And moving 10,000 miles away to a third world country, she goes, huh, interesting. And off we went. And I've got Campinas was the town that we moved to. 2 million people. It is the capital of the interior, as they call it, of the state of São Paulo. And off we went. I spoke some Spanish because of all my travels into Mexico and Latin America. I didn't know a word of Portuguese. At least in Spanish and a lot of other language, no is no, right? Not in Portuguese. That's in the. So we'd walk by a store and it would be, what was it? Seis vezes no cheque. Okay, wait a minute. What is it? Six times. With a check. Okay, so they always had everything. But, you know, trying to sort through and Portuguese is just like Spanish, except it isn't. And so, you know, off we went. We went for 4.5 years, and we just decided, you know what, we're all in. It was just her and I. Our youngest son was teaching at Excelsior Springs, and so we said, we're all in. So we learned how to cook churrasco. We learned how to make a caipirinha. We learned how to pronounce pão de queijo. We just had an incredible experience. We started a company at our dining room table with two kids. One had just graduated from university, and the other one was 2 years out. And he was a Brazilian kid that I actually met in church. And we took him home. And God was really there with us. 4.5 years, we built the biggest income generator in the company. And it was a we thing. It wasn't a me thing, and it was a God thing. I didn't speak Portuguese. I didn't know anybody. But God brought people to us. And most of them were Christians. They were believers. On the support staff, taking a break, Nancy's in there praying for them when they're taking a coffee break. She was up there all the time. And we built relationship. And we had kids. We started with the two. Then we added, and when we came home, we had 33 employees. 22 of them were under the age of 30. And the oldest one, I think Marcos, was, 42. They were young people. And they went out, and we built a big business. And then it's time to come home. We didn't want to come home. I was all in. We were talking about that we were planning retirement, that we were going to buy an apartment, and then we would be snowbirds. We'd live there 6 months and then come back here for 6 months. We'd have a consulting contract to transfer. We were dreaming all this stuff. And then the world imploded in 2008-09, the economy. And then so they brought me home. I mean, there were major, major spiritual warfare going on. And we came home to work out these differences with some people that were attacking us and undermining us and everything that we were doing. And instead of working them out, they said, nothing to talk about, you're coming home. That was tough. And we battled. And, you know, the company's acquired. And now we're now a Fortune 500 company. And as if you've ever been in an acquisition, the acquired company is either all the senior people are eliminated or pushed out. That took them 5 years to just push me out, regardless of all the things that I had done and was doing and the ideas. They weren't interested because they were going. And so now persistence comes in. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? So I retired. Really didn't have a plan, but I had to. And Nancy is the practical one. I'm the dreamer. But I was up here on a Saturday on a work day. And I'm whining to Randy. And he gives me incredible insight. And he says, when are you going to grow a pair and quit? And it was a word from God, because he doesn't really remember. He denies when I remind him of that. But it was exactly what I needed to hear and how I needed to hear it. And he got to me. And then someone, some guys that I've been following, everything started to come together. Then God said, let us. Do you notice that's an us? He already had two partners with him there. Make man in our image according to our likenesses. And from that, I can look back and going, oh my God, he was there with me. He was there with me, walking me through. Nancy's been through hell, and that's being nice. Because it's really tough to go through that. But she's been rock solid and been there. But I'm suddenly going through and seeing there isn't anything I can't do. But you know what? That book wasn't just written for me. It was written for everyone. Let us make man in our image. Everybody. Don't quit. There isn't anything you can't overcome. Everybody's got a story. Everybody's got a story. I encourage you. You want to know somebody? Go to have a meal with them. Tell me your story. And you'll be amazed. And you start to get insight and understanding. And a bond is built with you. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it for now. All right. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your testimonies that you have for each of us. And Lord, I just ask that these words of encouragement speak to the people. And Lord, minister to our hearts and just touch us, grow us, change us, and help us to follow you, to give glory to you, and to make us that new wine. And Lord, we praise you, we honor you, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Kirk. And when he talked to me about speaking, funny thing how his back began to hurt horribly for how long? Week?
2 weeks ago, after Randy and I had talked about it, he says, yeah, do it. First attack was at a gym. I couldn't do the workout, came home, took a shower, and I went to sit down on the couch to pull my socks on. And my back locked up. It was pain I hadn't ever experienced. I fell. I couldn't move. And I had to call Nancy. She's having coffee, praying for people, and now she's got to come home and get me up. And so it's been a battle. And we've had some issues relationally and physically and all that. So, yeah, it's funny how the enemy.
It's like he can't read your mind, but it's like he knows something's on the horizon. So, man, if you're going through it, buckle up. Buckle up. Because, you know, Friday may be bad, but Sunday's coming, right? Every death in Christ has a glorious resurrection. Come on up, Nancy.
On that struggle that week, too. When Noel Alexander spoke, am I on there? Okay. Anyway, when Noel Alexander spoke, and we were anointed on our forehead, and I had told Charles Carney, because Barbara wasn't here, and I said, hey, you and Barbara are one. Kurt and I are one. We're claiming that for them because his back was giving him troubles then.
He wasn't here.
That's right. He wasn't here. He was home taking muscle relaxants. And so on the way home, I felt the Lord say, when you get home, put your forehead on Kurt's. And I got home and I was sharing the sermon with him when Pastor Randy called to share the sermon with him. And Kirk goes, Nancy, share it with me right now. And I heard you through the phone talk about my forehead being put on his. And I just stopped sharing the sermon after they got off the phone, walked over and put my forehead on his and prayed. The next morning, he woke up and it was hurting some, but by 11 o'clock that morning, the pain was gone.
Yeah.
And just kept getting better throughout the week. And so, you know, the enemy likes to hit you in other areas where you want to fuss with each other and things like that. But, you know, praise God. We knew as soon as I walked in the house to help get him up off the floor, I said, this is just the devil. You're getting ready to give your testimony, and we're just not going to receive this.
Right. Amen. That's good. Well, stand up. Stand up. Lift up your hands. Say, Lord, I am a testimony of your goodness. Use me. Help me share my story. In Jesus' name. Amen. And I will also add to that, we're going to pray for you if you'd like prayer. We'll have people on either corner over here praying with you for whatever you're going through. But I want you to know this, your story's not done. And I'm going to encourage you to put the pen down because you're not writing it. God is. Let him turn the page and begin to write your next chapter. Amen. All right, God bless. Hey, I'll see you here tonight.